Good evening.
Welcome to St. Mark's Lutheran Church, where today we have a very joyous celebration as we get to install our new pastor, Pastor Jonathan Kolander. A big welcome to all of our guests, especially those who have traveled far, including Pastor Kolander and Jenny. Glad you guys could make it safely. We begin the installation service with hymn 735 in the blue supplements in front of you there. May God bless your worship tonight. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news. Burst into songs of joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem.
For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem.
The Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all nations.
And all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God.
If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved.
How then can they call on the one they have not believed in?
And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard?
And how can they hear without someone preaching to them?
And how can they preach unless they are sent?
As it is written,
how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news.
Let us pray. Almighty God, caller and sender of people of faith in every age, we bless you for those who bring good news, proclaim salvation, and say to the church, your God reigns. We thank you for the prophets and apostles who in their time faithfully spread the gospel of salvation. And we praise you that by your Holy Spirit you continue their work through us. May we too hear you say at last, well done, faithful servant. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
You may be seated. The first lesson for this evening comes from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 9 through 11. As Pastor Colander comes to us, he comes with a very good message, and he can proclaim that message from the mountains with confidence. From Isaiah chapter 40. You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. The word of the Lord. We join together in Psalm 78. The second lesson this evening comes from 2 Timothy chapters 3 and 4, where we see the tool of the trade. From 2 Timothy 3 and 4. But as for you, Continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Please stand in honor of the words of Jesus. The Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 28. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always, to the very end of the age." This is the Gospel of the Lord. We join together in hymn 543. You may be seated.
To him who is, and who was,
and who is to come,
be the glory, now and forever. Amen.
The lesson for us to meditate upon this afternoon on this special occasion is from Prophet Jeremiah in chapter 1. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." "Alas, sovereign Lord," I said, "I do not know how to speak. I am too young." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you," declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, "I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant." The word of the Lord. We begin with a prayer. Lord, open now my heart to hear, and through your word to me draw near. Let me your word e'er pure retain, let me your child and e'er remain. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, members of St. Mark, John and Jenny, I don't want to put words in your mouth, John, but I assume that you are going to be one who loves not having to shovel snow anymore, not having to scrape a windshield, and you can go find snow if you want it and come back to 75 degrees. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I assume that you're going to disband your loyalty to green and gold and pick up scarlet red and metallic gold, or silver and black, to be all things to all people, of course. Don't want to put words in your mouth, but I think you're going to see a challenge and enjoy embracing it, that you are now in the land of fruits and nuts. Not just the nourishing kind. I don't want to put words in your mouth. You're taking up a ministry here at St. Mark's that has been ongoing gospel ministry for 52 years. 10 pastors have been preaching from the pulpit, and so you are number 11. We see that a community that you are going to be serving in is one that has close to 90,000 people, a neighboring city of 500,000 in Sacramento. You see Kingswood Drive right near those subdivisions, just to the southwest and southeast, East Ridge Community, Doral Ridge Estates. You find yourself at a church that also has a thriving school that's been in existence for 47 years, teaching Jesus' little lambs. You have new faces, new people to know, new souls to minister to, and a new area of ministry to go about preaching, teaching, and going about kingdom work. It's a good place to start when we go back to another man, another prophet, a spokesman of God who was called to serve God's people and needed some encouragement and some good direction from his God. In fact, some good direction in which he gives to him those words, "I have put my words in your mouth." You're not going to want to hear what I have to say as far as words, putting my words into your mouth. But we're going to hear what God has to say about the words he puts in your mouth. And we jump back into the life of Jeremiah, and we see how the Lord did just that for him, starting off with some assurance to this prophet who was going to be a spokesman to his people. "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations.'" The Lord said, "I knew exactly who you were, Jeremiah." Before even he spoke those words, "Let there be light," he knew Jeremiah the prophet. He knew every fiber of his being, every soul in his body. He knew every future task that he was going to undertake. He knew exactly what this prophet was going to be. "I knew you, Jeremiah." And in fact, he knew him so well that he could design him and construct him just in the exact way that he needed for his people. He formed Jeremiah into the prophet
people of Judah needed to serve them. And he formed him with his characteristics, he formed him with his abilities and his talents, he formed him with his interests, and he formed him with his feelings and his forcefulness. I knew you, Jeremiah. I formed you. In fact, I even set you apart from everybody else because I had a special task just for you. To go about serving God's people, Judah, at the declining years of Judah when it was about to be taken over by Babylon and during that Babylonian captivity. I formed you. I knew you. And I set you apart for a special purpose to be a spokesman of God. And in fact, I appointed you to the nations. Not just simply in Israel, not just to God's people, but to the nations surrounding. And you really stop and think about that for a moment. As Jeremiah is appointed to the nations surrounding Israel and Israel itself, and he's still serving the nations. Because the nation of the United States is still being served by Jeremiah. And God will bring that message of Jeremiah to the nations until finally we find nations cease to exist. And there's only one place where all are gathered together finally in heaven, God's people's place. As you think about your ministry, John, starting here, think about how the assurance of God, he does give to you the same type of assurance, doesn't he? He knew exactly who you were before you were even 2 cells or 4 cells or 8 cells or 16. He knew exactly who he was going to have you be and design you just with your perfect talents and abilities for his kingdom work. He knew exactly what people needed where you were going to serve. He had it all mapped out for you before you took your first breath. And he was the one who said, I'm setting you apart to serve. Indian River, Michigan, Gaylord, Michigan, serving Menominee Falls, Wisconsin, now Citrus Heights, California. Set you apart. And I appointed you. I appointed you to the nations in a very much similar way. You may not have a large nation of people, or all nations going over to China and Japan and Russia, but you are serving the nations as they come to the United States. You're serving this country. And as you lead God's people, as they bring their offerings, that nation, those nations are being served by their mission work and mission offerings. And you as God's spokesman, set apart, formed, and equipped, are one who is able to preach this good news to them, to encourage them to think outside the walls of St. Mark's into a dying community, a dying nation, and a dying world that needs the message that God has equipped and set you apart to carry out. But he doesn't stop there with Jeremiah. He also says, now I also want to encourage you, Jeremiah. As you go about this task, listen to his encouragement to him. Alas, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am too young. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue, declares the Lord. Jeremiah's excuse, I'm too young. We don't know how old Jeremiah was exactly. Some scholars guess he was maybe in his 20s. To really be one who was taken seriously by people, he had to be 30. Too young. I don't have what it takes to do what it needs to be done, Lord. You can see him shaking his head and also shaking in his boots, thinking about what task lay before him. And the Lord says, I'm going to equip you. I'm going to equip you in such a way that, what is his encouragement? You hear it again? Go to everyone I will send you. Jeremiah, you have a people that you are going to serve, and I am sending you to these people. You aren't bringing the will inside yourself to go find your audience. I'm sending you to them because they need to hear this message at this time. And you look at Judah at this time, and boy, do they need to hear God's words to them. Because their shepherd kings had led them down paths of destruction and away from their God. We find them as ones who are now on the verge of being taken over, and the Lord said, you are going to go into captivity. And Jeremiah, his message to them that he was going to go to them to say, the very words God wanted him to say. Give in. Go to Babylon. That's okay. I will return you. But they didn't want to hear that defeat. Some had their own pride, thinking they knew better, thinking they could escape it. But Jeremiah, I'm sending you to these people, and you say what I tell you to say. You give them the very words that they need to hear, and I'll equip you to do that. And the third thing there, not only do you go, not only do you speak, but you do not fear. Jeremiah, as you have this task before you, you do not be afraid of whoever stands up to you. And these were kings and nobles and princes. These were the leaders of Israel. These were the pastors and the priests of Israel standing up against Jeremiah. And you can imagine standing out in a crowd trying to spread a message and send a message where you have everyone hates you, despises you, wishes you were dead, has the power to squash your life out in an instant, can throw you into a pit of mud to leave you there to die. Do not be afraid. It can be a frightening thing to stand up for the truth of the word. Do not be afraid, Jeremiah, because I go with you. You are never alone, Jeremiah. I will rescue you. Doesn't that fit his name so well as Savior, Rescuer? I will pull you away from the clutches of those who want to hurt and to harm you and to squash your message because you're going for me. Jeremiah had a complex a little bit about his age. I don't think you have that problem, John. You're not that young. But the fear of speaking of what we have to speak before our God, before people. What is the reaction going to be? Who's going to try to get in the way of the message of God? Who's going to try to put up the roadblocks before me? How is Satan going to work the message to be distorted, walls to be constructed, fists to be raised, and words to speak out in opposition? It's a scary task at times to speak up and speak for the Lord. And yet the Lord's called you to do just that. And he comes with not only his assurance, but now he says, I equip you because I send you to these people. He's chosen you specifically to serve the saints here at St. Mark. He's chosen you to speak the words that he will give you in your mouth to speak. And he says to go without any fear, because he's taken you as one who doesn't have to fear anything, because now that Lord is on your side. And the amazing thing is that as he's brought you to be his spokesman, he's done it in such a way that's been pure grace, hasn't it? You didn't deserve to be it. In fact, as we look at who you and I are before our God, we were ones who had to be afraid of him, cower away from him. And he's removed that fear, because notice who, throughout this lesson, who's speaking. It's the L-O-R-D in all capital letters, Lord. The Savior God of saving grace. The Savior God of free and faithful grace, who goes about his plan of saving the world and saving his people and saving you and me, sinners, who now serve him in our various vocations, and you, John, specifically as a shepherd here at St. Mark, equipped to do so. And then Jeremiah, not only are you going to go, not only are you going to say what I need you to say, and not only are you going to be going without any fear and knowing that I rescue you, I'm going to empower you to do it. And I'm going to power these words. Listen to what he says again. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. Boy, there's a lot of destruction in what he told Jeremiah, isn't he? In fact, it seems to dominate a little bit, 2-1. He says to you are going to be uprooting. You have the picture of picking out a weed and digging down to its roots and getting the very heart of it and throwing it on the compost heap because it can't stay where it is. Jeremiah, you're going to have to do that with people's hearts. With thy word, you are going to uproot the sin that's so entrenched in them. My word can do just that. And you are going to throw down, tear down these walls that are raised up in opposition, constructed as a castle against the Savior God of grace. Because people love to retreat to their castles, don't they? We love to hide in them and pull up the drawbridge because we're comfortable in ourselves and comfortable in our sins at times. And Jeremiah, you've got to tear that down. There's no room for drawbridges and castles against the Lord. In fact, you got to go so far as to destroy them. You flatten them. You make sure that they are dead and killed. And Jeremiah, you take these words of mine and you make sure those hearts get killed with God's law over and over again so that there is no life there in this sinfulness and sinful heart. And I want you to overthrow it. I want you to overthrow it so it's flattened, laid out, and ready for building. Because Jeremiah, as these people's hearts are prepared, as you've come with the blazing heat of God's law, the powerful rock and hammer it is to blast through the hardness of hearts and tear down castle walls of opposition to their God, guess what you also get to do? You get to build. You get to construct. And you get to take these hearts that are dead and take a gospel message and make them alive again. The Spirit will use that word to build up God's people. And he promised that in Jeremiah 31, I will build you again. He's torn them down, but he will build them again. Fact and promise. And I will build you with promises. Jeremiah, remember those promises you spoke and you will speak? That they will be my people and I will be their God. I will forgive their sins and remember their wickedness no more. The Spirit takes the gospel and he's going to build up these people in Israel. Through the words of Jeremiah, the Spirit works. Through law, gospel. 2,500 years hasn't changed, has it? You still have people who implant themselves in their own sins. And we find ourselves as people who want to dig our deep roots into those sins that are so easily entangle us and seem to make life easier. At least that's what we convince ourselves of. John, as he preached law, you got to uproot them. As we ourselves construct our own barriers against our God, and you can think of your own pet barriers that you throw up against your God, you've called a pastor to come and knock them down so that the hammer of the word knocks down these hard hearts and pride, destroying it, flattening it, overthrowing it, but then, of course, coming to build. And you get to build as you take them back to the font of baptism and remind them that's where the Lord constructed and built their hearts first for most of them. You get to take the words, this is my body, this is my blood, given for you, poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. And you build them up. And you empower them now to go be God's people. You get to build them up as you lead them to the cross once again every Sunday, every special service, every home visit, and every shut-in call. At the hospital bed as you take their hand and say the prayers with them and share Jesus with them, you're building. 2,500 years and it hasn't changed. 25 plus in ministry, hasn't changed. Get to build. And God says, my prophet, I've equipped you with exactly what you need. People of St. Mark's, you've been privileged to be part of calling a shepherd. The Spirit has used you to bring a shepherd to your flock. He's used you to make sure that the right man at the right time is here. With complete confidence, as you've issued this divine call and it's been answered, the Lord has placed into your midst one that he's called, one that he's assured, one that he's empowered, and he's equipped. Support him. Your pastor is going to preach law. Support him in it. Even when it's tough. When you see the grandkids messing up and they need to hear it, support your pastor in that. When you see your own children wandering away and they need the message of the law to knock down the hardness of heart that sets in because society loves to build it and callous it up, support your pastors. And that same message of showing sin, and support your pastors as they're allowed to come to you and bring gospel. What blessings come as God has equipped shepherds to bring that gospel message to you here. Support them in it. Partner with them in it. Because as God has promised them, he's also promised you the same thing. Because connected to the Savior God, you've been given equipment, empowerment to uproot and overthrow, tear down, destroy, to build, to plant, to be assured, to be encouraged, to be enabled. You don't want me to put words in your mouth, John. It's going to be a losing cause. But as you begin your ministry here at St. Mark, blessed by a flock that has called you to shepherd them, blessed by a wife to be by your side to support you and encourage you, listen to God's promise again. As you stand in this pulpit before his altar, you get his promise of what he said he's given to you. The Savior God of free and faithful grace says to you, I, not anyone else, I have put my words in your mouth. Preach them. Amen. Please stand. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We join with Christians around the world and for the past 1,600 years as we use the words of the Apostles' Creed in your service folder. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated. afternoon. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said to his church, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Holy Scripture assures us that our risen and ascended Lord will always provide the church with the gifts necessary to carry out this great commission. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesians, "Christ ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ might be built up." Dear brother in Christ, this congregation has called you to serve in the office of the holy ministry. It is good that you should hear again what God says in his holy word about pastors who carry out this sacred office. St. Paul states that a pastor must be above reproach, the husband of but one wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him with proper respect. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. St. Paul urged Timothy to set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity, and he further advised him, "Devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Watch your life and your doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers." In the final chapter of his second letter to Timothy, the apostle gives additional words of encouragement. He says, "Preach the word, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great faithfulness and careful instruction. Keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist." The ability to carry out this calling is not in us, but comes alone from God, as St. Paul reminded the Corinthian Christians, not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. In keeping with the word and the will of the Lord, you're about to be installed as a pastor at St. Mark's Evangelical Lutheran Church here in Citrus Heights, California. I ask you then, in the presence of God and this Christian congregation, are you fully determined to carry out this work according to the grace which God will give?
I am.
Do you believe that the canonical books of the Old and New Testaments are the inspired word of God and the only infallible rule of faith and practice?
I do.
Do you accept the three ecumenical creeds, the Apostles, the Nicene, and the Athanasian, as faithful testimonies to the truth of the Holy Scriptures, and do you reject all the errors which they condemn?
I do.
Do you believe that the unaltered Augsburg Confession is a true exposition of the Word of God and a correct presentation of the doctrine of the Evangelical Lutheran Church, and that the other confessions in the Book of Concord are also in agreement with this one scriptural faith, the Apology of the Augsburg Confession, the small and large catechisms of Martin Luther, the small called Articles, and the Formula of Concord?
I do.
Do you solemnly promise that all your teaching and your administration of the sacraments will conform to the Holy Scriptures and the Lutheran confessions?
I do.
Will you give faithful witness to Christ in the world, so that Christ's love may be known in all that you do and say, then answer, "I will," and I ask God to help me.
I will, and I ask God to help me.
Almighty God, who has given you the will to do these things, graciously give you also the strength and the compassion to perform them. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you have heard the solemn promises given by the one whom you have called to serve as your pastor. I urge you, therefore, to receive him as your pastor and to keep in mind always what the Word of God teaches you as members of his flock. Listen eagerly to the preaching of the Word, receiving it not as the word of men, but as it actually is the word of God. Take to heart his scriptural words of warning and encouragement, humbly accepting the word planted in you. Work together with him for our Lord's kingdom, so that by your works of service, the body of Christ might be built up. Help him by your word and example in teaching the young, remembering how the scriptures urge you to bring up your children in the training and instruction of the Lord. Honor and love him, as the Apostle Paul says, respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Pray for him continually, that his ministry among you may be greatly blessed, and that with all his responsibilities he may continue to have a cheerful spirit. Provide also for his physical needs, for the Lord says, the worker deserves his wages, and the Apostle Paul says, anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Finally, remember what the scriptures say, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. I now ask you, the members of St. Mark's Evangelical Lutheran Church, in the presence of God, are you willing to receive Pastor Kolander as a minister of God? Will you show him the love, honor, and obedience in the Lord, which you owe to a shepherd and overseer placed over you by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the chief shepherd and overseer of souls? If so, then answer, we will, and we ask God to help us.
We will, and we ask God to help us.
The Almighty and merciful God strengthen you and assist you always as you support Pastor Kolander in his calling. John Kolander, I install you as pastor at St. Mark's Evangelical Lutheran Church in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. May the Lord pour out upon you his Holy Spirit for the work committed to you, that you may faithfully proclaim the gospel in word and sacraments. I invite the visiting pastors now to come forward and participate in the laying on of hands.
Brother John, as you carry out your ministry, may you do so with a gospel predominance and knowing that it has the power to save. As Paul reminds us in Romans 1, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of salvation for everyone who believes.
Brother Kolander, I'm Ron Waterstrat, pastor of part-time pastor of St. Andrew Lutheran Church in Sacramento. I would like to share with you the blessing of God in his words in Isaiah chapter 55, words that formed the basis of the choir's piece at the beginning of the service. May it be a comfort and strength to you throughout your ministry. As the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it.
Dave Waterstrat, Hope Lutheran Church in Penryn. Brother John, experience in the ministry brings with it many blessings, but it can also bring with it some risks. As we handle the truth of the gospel every day, our hearts can grow accustomed to the message. We can grow calloused to what the Lord has to say. So my earnest prayer for you as your ministry begins here at St. Mark's is that the gospel will be as fresh and exhilarating to you as it was when you first began in the ministry. Its message never changes. It is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one may boast. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9.
Matt Natsis, pastor in Livermore. Brother John, as you go through your ministry, there may be days when you feel weak and unable to go forward with it, thinking, how could I ever accomplish this? And to that, we have the same answer that Jesus had for Paul, that Paul records in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. Jesus says, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness."
Brother John, Tim Shrimpton, pastor at Gloria Dei Lutheran in Belmont. This is a lot. I don't know how you felt when the preacher was preaching. I was feeling overwhelmed for you. as he reminded us from the words of Jeremiah that God is the one that formed you. God is the one that has given you to this congregation and this congregation to you. And so in days of being overwhelmed, in days of trial, in days of joy, remember that your help comes from your God. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2.
Scott Stone, Vacaville, California, St. John Lutheran. Brother John, welcome to California, to our Arizona-California district, and our hearts and prayers are with you. So the words of Moses in Psalm 90, verse 17, make a very fitting blessing and prayer both for you and for your congregation. The favor of the Lord comes to us by grace. It is that beautiful, righteous declaration of our God, and we heard about that in the sermon, and you'll be preaching it to the joy of your people. One reason why it's also translated, the beauty of the Lord our God. That is ours. And because of that, God establishes the work of our hands. May the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands. Yes, establish the work of our hands.
Ken Bartelt, Living Water Mission Exploratory in Yuba City, California. John, I will expect over the next day and weeks and months, you're going to be learning a whole lot of new things about this congregation. Any number of them are going to be very different from Menominee Falls. But these are people that are here, and they need to hear your commitment to preach law and gospel. All I have to say is, keep it simple. Law and gospel, keep it simple. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ our Lord.
Steve Hilmer, pastor at the Springs Lutheran Church in Sparks, Nevada. What a message we have. Words that are put in our mouth to preach. And the Apostle Paul at the end of that 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the joy of the resurrection, that's our motivation, that's our heart, that's our drive. And so he says, always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor, Lord, is not in vain. 1 Corinthians 15, 58.
It's good to be with you today. I'm Pastor Mark Shawey from St. Peter Lutheran in Clovis, California. Brother John, I think every single one of these guys can tell you that great changes come with a move like this. Great changes with the family, changes with the ministry, changes in the community. But the weapon you have is the same. The weapon is to be the one you've used and you've learned about, and it's a powerful one, and it's a living one, as we hear in Hebrews chapter 4. The Word of God is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword, and it divides and it penetrates, even dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow.
I'm Pastor John Durme from Shepherd of the Mountains in Reno. Today's a glorious day, but as you know, there will be days that do not seem quite so glorious, days when the work is hard and you do not feel up to the task. Remember, however, that the work is the Lord's, and the strength that you have for it will also come from Him. Psalm 73. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever.
What a blessing to be able to lay hands for the first time in my ministry on my partner in the ministry. You might have some fears, as Pastor Schrader talked about, as some of the others have talked about, new area, new church, new community. Thankfully, they didn't mention the new pastor you'd have to work with. With all these fears, just remember John who's with you and who's the one that sent you in the first place. Moses, when he had some fears, when the Lord called him into ministry to the Israelites, well, the Lord gave him the comfort of his name. That's who was with him. And that's who is with you as well. I am who I am. Tell the Israelites, I am, has sent me to you.
Pastor John Buchholz. I serve as one of the pastors at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Tempe, Arizona. Just a couple of months ago, St. Mark's had zero pastors. And with the arrival of Pastor Groth, and now with the arrival of Pastor Kohlander, you have the dream team in place serving as your pastoral staff. But this has been a process that has given the congregation, all of us really, the opportunity to place our trust in the Lord, knowing that He provides for His flock, that He cares for His church. And so this afternoon, I share with you the words from Romans chapter 11, the epistle for the 14th Sunday after Pentecost. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable His judgments and His paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been His counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. God's blessings on your ministry. I invite the congregation to stand for prayer. Merciful God and Father, you have graciously promised that through the preaching of the crucified Christ, those who believe in him will be saved eternally. By your Holy Spirit, grant grace to your servant, whom you have given to be pastor of this congregation. Grant him readiness and steadfastness in this ministry, patience, understanding, and great zeal for the work you've set before him. Strengthen and support him in your service so that by your word, your church may be built and increased through your Son, our great high priest, Jesus Christ, our Lord, in whose name we join to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Go then, Pastor Kohler, take up the work to which you have been called. The Lord bless you and make you a blessing to many, that you may bear fruit, and that your fruit may endure to eternal life.
Come from you. We pray, Almighty God, grant to your church the Holy Spirit and the wisdom that comes from above. Let nothing hinder your word from being freely proclaimed to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people, so that we may serve you in steadfast faith and confess your name as long as we live, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you his peace.
Amen. Amen.
God be the glory. I thank you for being here today. The older I get, the more emotional I get. That's a big deal. So thank you to the choir. Excellent, excellent work. Musicians, decorating committee, Pastor Schrader, thank you for the beautiful message, encouraging. And I can understand why you gave up your loyalty so easily, being a Lion fan originally. Pastor Groth and I are partnered up well, being the Central Division foes, Vikings versus Packers. But we'll embrace both, and Raiders and 49ers too. I think the only announcement that I've been asked to direct you towards is the fact that everyone is welcome to our gymnasium for a meal that has been prepared. Again, I'd like to thank all of you for making the time to be here this afternoon on this special day as Pastor Groth and I begin our working together. We look forward to working with you, getting to know you better, and serving alongside you. And I like to thank my wife Jenny. Promise to be stronger. I used to laugh at people who pounded their nails or their thumbs on roofs, so I don't know why I get emotional, but it's the power of God's word. It's a great thing that we have been given. His mercy is anew every day, so again. Thank you for your indulgence and your patience in my emotional state. And may we enjoy the rest of the afternoon to God's glory. Before we go, let's join together in giving our great God thanks in the common table prayers without the amen in the middle. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let these gifts to us be blessed. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endures forever. Amen.
Blessings to you all.